Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So, despite what all the doom and gloom crowd might tell you, video games are actually better than ever. There's more diversity, artistry, and choice than in the history of the medium, and it's only set to get better as time marches on. But that said, the state of things is also pretty damn far from perfect, which is what we're going to be talking about today. As I'm Jules, this is WhatCulture.com, and these are 10 outdated video game design tropes that need to die. Number 10. Forced walking sections. Because developers realized that they couldn't get away with unskippable cutscenes acting as disguised loading screens anymore, over the last decade or so, there's been a steady increase in the amount of forced walking sequences in narrative-driven video games. These sequences will typically serve as a break in the action, as the player is forced to slow walk while talking to another character and being spoon-fed plot exposition. Some really egregious examples include Gears of War, The Last of Us, Red Dead Redemption 2, and of course, Anthem, which only allowed players to move around their home hub of Fort Tarsis at an agonizing snail's pace, presumably in order to pad out the game's minuscule amount of launch content. And even if developers aren't doing this to hide loading screens or elongate the experience, it demonstrates a pure lack of confidence in the game's ability to captivate the player, or that players will actually want to listen to the story. Slowing the player to a crawl and forcing a drawn-out spiel on them is never good design, and honestly, you're better off just giving players a cutscene instead, so that they can at least put down their controller for a few minutes. Instead, this misguided quest for gameplay that's more immersive and cinematic means that we have these painful asides that force the player along a rigid, mostly fixed track. Number 9. Detective Vision. Ever since the release of Batman Arkham Asylum, the detective-slash-magic vision trope has become exceedingly popular, especially in open-world third-person action games. This mechanic typically allows players to switch to an alternate viewing mode where they can see an enhanced perspective of their environment, singling out enemies, combat possibilities, collectibles, and so on. It's appeared in the likes of Assassin's Creed, Dishonored, The Last of Us, Tomb Raider, The Witcher 3, and Horizon Zero Dawn, to name just a few. Now, on the one hand, it is a tool for the developer to hold the player's hand and ensure that everyone can make their way through the game no matter what, and I'm all for that. I don't like games that are unfairly difficult and bar people from completing games, but ultimately, it does diminish the incentive of players just using their own observational faculties to progress, and encourages them to ignore their beautifully rendered surroundings in favor of the typically washed out new viewing mode. It also speaks of bad level design as well. Can you not get the player to interact with the level in ways other than giving them a see-through walls mode? Though these modes can usually be toggled on or off, the fact that games are designed around them often means that players have no choice but to switch up to a neon-tinged view of the action. Number 8. Stopping the game to dump exposition. Exposition-based tell-don't-show storytelling is one of the laziest and most irritating narrative devices that a game can employ, and you know what? It is used constantly. While games like Uncharted generally do a solid job of keeping the labored chit-chat minimal and allowing a lot of the action to do the real talking, too often games will simply stop the player dead in their tracks and vomit up reams of robotic information about the plot and characters. And perhaps no AAA game in recent memory has done this quite as blatantly as Horizon Zero Dawn, which throughout its campaign required players to watch numerous post-mission hologram recordings, which ladled out the plot in the driest and most yawn-inducing fashion possible. For a game otherwise overflowing with creative ideas, this was kind of embarrassing. The Metal Gear Solid franchise is the undisputed king of this trope, though, with Hideo Kojima frequently serving up cutscenes of up to an hour in length, which mechanically outline the hilariously convoluted plots. As entertainingly balmy as these games are, they're also a prime example of how less can indeed be more. Nobody needed to sit through a solid 40 minutes of fart wafting, much of which is in a visually bland codec conversation, just to get to the final boss in Metal Gear Solid 2, for example. Number 7. Pointless collectathon tasks. Now, the uptick in open-world games trying to compete for players' time over the last few years has seen these titles increasingly saddle players with an absurd amount of peripheral content. And though this is sometimes in the form of meaningful side missions, it too often devolves into developers daring players just to hoover up hundreds, if not thousands, of meaningless collectible items that are just scattered around the map. The Assassin's Creed games have practically taken this up to the level of self-parody in the past, flooding the map with more icons than any single human being can possibly keep up with. In actual fact, it's simply an attempt to keep the player glued to the game as long as possible, and therefore increase the probability that they'll splash out on microtransactions or become psychologically addicted to the game, and therefore the IP. A player who cuts through the main questline and moves directly onto another game is a publisher's worst nightmare, and so the inclusion of junky tat to be scooped up for tens if not hundreds of hours is often mandated to developers from on high. It's almost as cynical as gaming gets. Number 6. Tailing missions. The tailing mission, where players are tasked with following a perp but making sure that they don't get too close or they'll spook the mark and they'll flee the area. The Grand Theft Auto franchise is largely credited with originating the tailing mission, where players would follow a perp in their car and have to maintain a distance where they neither scared them off nor lost sight of them. Like early stealth, escort, and water missions, GTA's tailing missions were actually pretty novel and fun, but like any vaguely inventive mechanic, when it was adopted by the industry as a whole, it was driven towards the Earth's core like a giant tent peg. The Assassin's Creed series is especially guilty of this, generally using tailing missions to dryly deliver exposition while failing to complete the tale as the game intends results in a game over. Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots also features an infamously frustrating tailing mission in Act 3, and more recently, Sega's Judgment misguidedly overindulged in this tedious tailing. These missions are almost never fun and just feel like bloated dead weight intended to piss players off, especially as making even minor mistakes can often result in a fail state.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Number 5. Story choices that ultimately mean nothing. If you're playing a game for the story, then there is nothing more infuriating than realizing that the supposed narrative choices that you have made throughout the game have little to no bearing on the overall outcome of the plot. This was most famously the case in Mass Effect 3, which took the choices that you'd made over the course of the first three games and effectively cast them aside in favor of a really rubbish pick-a-color ending. This wasn't what fans were promised, and they duly revolted. Hell, FIFA's The Journey story mode is even guilty of this, promising a narrative that will evolve tailored to your footballing success, only for the game to force the player into contrived, canned, dramatic scenarios that don't reflect your actual performances. And then there are games that seem to give the player impactful choices, only for them to amount to nothing. The primer offender of this being Telltale Games, whose episodic adventure titles, though fun, present a hilariously transparent illusion of choice at best, because developing enough permutations to give a true impression of freedom presumably isn't that financially viable. Number 4. The hero almost falling to their death. The action-adventure genre loves to tease players by throwing them into mortal peril as much as possible, but too often these games rehash the same tired shtick to the point that it rouses more of a groan than a gasp. The Uncharted and Tomb Raider reboot franchises are both terribly guilty of this, of just leaving the protagonist hanging gingerly off a cliff or only barely able to reach a platform or hell, even have the platform crumble away beneath them. We as players know that the game isn't just going to randomly kill the hero out of nowhere, so these desperation beats ultimately come across as incredibly hollow. At best, it typically requires the player to spam a few buttons in order to free themselves, and within a few hours of play, it quickly feels totally played out. Number 3. Pandering fan service. So what I'm going to do right now is just get the editor to put up images of the following people: Lara Croft, Quiet from Metal Gear Solid 5, Lulu from Final Fantasy X, Catwoman from Batman Arkham City, and of course, basically anyone from Dead or Alive. Now, what we're going to do here is just say, I wonder, are the costumes that they're wearing right now designed for practicality or for a teenage sexed-up demographic? You tell me. I'm just saying that this is a medium that is still struggling to be taken seriously by a lot of the world's adults. So it would sure be nice if developers didn't cynically assume that we were out-of-control horn dogs who won't play a game unless it's full of sexy imagery. Number 2. Forced optional missions. Pretty much any major RPG or open world game these days will feature heaps of additional optional side content alongside the main campaign, and often these peripheral missions will far outweigh the size and length of the core story. But optional is the key word here, otherwise why not just make it part of the core questline? I'm definitely casting a glance over at Ni No Kuni Toony Revenant Kingdom, which is a game that is so absolutely flabbed out because it throws up several brick walls over the course of the story that requires players to complete what were initially suggested to be optional side missions. The player has to recruit a certain number of citizens to their kingdom throughout the game, requiring them to participate in short, yet rather soul-sappingly dull fetch quest missions for hours on end. It's not fun and is clearly just a listless attempt to pad out a game that didn't have enough meaningful content. It's not too common compared to most of the other tropes on this list. For example, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 also pulled the same trick way back in 2017. And number 1, unreasonably grindy unlock requirements. Now, grinding is a core component of so many games, especially RPGs, but in more recent times it's a practice that's become roped into the gameplay loop of some rather unconventional genres, such as shooters and sports games. This is entirely the fault of microtransaction-based game economies, which place desirable unlockables in the far, far distance and present players with just two options: tough it out the hard way for potentially hundreds of hours to unlock maybe one thing, or just buy some virtual currency and unlock it in seconds. 2K's WWE and NBA games are hugely guilty of this, as was EA's train wreck that was Star Wars Battlefront 2. These games all thoroughly disrespect paying customers by dangling a carrot miles away from them and allowing them the opportunity to effectively buy their time back with a workaround. It's pathetic and undermines the sense of reward that players get, because when you unlock a character or item after giving it your all and truly earning it, it feels great, but only if that unlock approaches a reasonable runtime. Knowing that somebody else has just spent 50 quid on tokens and done it with a few clicks creates a wholly uneven and unsatisfying player dynamic that is, let's face it, just gross. And there we go, my friends. Those were 10 outdated video game design tropes that need to die. I hope that you enjoyed that, and please let me know what you thought about it down in the comments section below. As always, I've been Jules. You can go follow me over on Twitter at RetroJ0, or you can swing by Live and Let's Dice, where I do all of my streaming outside of work, and it'd be great to see you over there. But before I go, I just want to say one thing. Hope you're treating yourself with love and respect, my friend, because you deserve all of the best things in life, all right? You deserve much better than the tropes these games were trying to force feed you, let me tell you that. And I want you to go out there with love in your heart for yourself and your neighbour, because that's the only way that we're going to get through this crazy thing called life, and that is together as a society. Big love to you, my friend. Now go out there and utterly smash it. As always, I've been Jules. You have been awesome. Never forget that, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.